decide for yourselves whether it is right before God to obey you rather than God. Acts 4:19. The entire world is suffering the painful consequences of neglecting the mind of the people. Public education in this respect is responsible for the suffering of millions, depriving the individual of the happiness, prosperity, and permanent peace within the individual and in the world, which is made up of individuals. Now, the most extraordinary thing is this, that we fail to see the real thing that counts. We're always trying to make a reality of relative things. We're always trying to make a reality of that which is external to ourselves. And because of our reactions to these things and conditions, we create trouble in our minds and bodies. But when you get to the stage where you realize this truth, I'm alive and living, it's not an idea or an image. What is in your mind is an idea or an image or a reaction or an experience. It is a result of something external to yourselves. Therefore, you have it in your mind. Your mind then is the result of your reactions to things external to yourselves or sensations that rise from within yourselves, and you create an image, an idea of them. Your mind is a conglomeration of all these things, and you are very often in conflict because you do not know where you are. But when you realize this, that which is not an idea, not an image, nor a belief, I am alive and living. I am the living expression of the Almighty. Why? Because God being infinite in nature, there can be no other living being but Him. He alone lives. Therefore, the fact is that I must be the living expression of God, otherwise He could not be infinite in nature. Therefore, I become aware of this which is beyond the mind, something that is beyond mind, beyond experiences, beyond ideas, beyond images, and beyond these things that you create in your own mind. I am alive and living. My living is God. Can't be anything else because God is infinite in nature, and there can be no other living being but Him. If I was living apart from Him, He could not be infinite. Therefore, divine reason enables you to grasp the truth, but it is not the truth. Even divine reason is not the truth. But it leads you to the truth away from experiences, away from ideas, away from imitations, away from the mind that is made up of these things. And when you come to that realization of this one thing, that you are alive in life, nothing else matters. You see the relative of what it is. It stands out before you. You're not afraid of it. It no longer troubles you, because fear has passed away completely in your knowing that God is. Now, that is being, because God is now. And not tomorrow. God isn't become God tomorrow. Or some other day, the infinite is now, otherwise you could never be. I am now too, otherwise I could never be either. Therefore, trying to become something is leading you away from being and leading you away from truth, which is now. If you can grasp what I am telling you now, you will see the relative conditions. You will see your images, your beliefs, your experiences, your anticipations, and all these things are portion of your mind that are causing a disturbance in your mind. And that disturbance sets up the whirlpool in your mind, and you no longer can control it until such time as you come back to the whole thing and you say clearly and distinctly, Father, I am thine, thou art mine. All that is thine is mine. All that is mine is thine. It is thee alone that lives. Therefore all is well now, at this very moment. At this very moment, nothing can be out of place. And at any time, it can never be out of place, because thou art infinite, and I am. Thou art, I am. That is the foundation. Then you can see what suggestion is that comes from outside. The relative is always suggesting things to you. Suggestion only comes in two ways. It comes in positive and negative. Therefore, immediately you know that there is opposition, that the opposing forces, you know they are false. You know they have no power of their own. You know they're of the mind. You know completely then that they will pass away into nothingness where they belong. First thing then is to see clearly and distinctly that true foundation upon which you shall stand. But unless you discern the relative and what it is, you'll be caught up in it. Some people content themselves with the idea that mental health is too subtle and a complex one, that the rush, tension, and tumult of modern world leaves no time to take precautions which are so essential for the mental health of the people, individually and collectively. The answer lies here, that those who suffer from physical and mental ailments are those individuals who have not found the time, nor have cared, nor have the knowledge to protect themselves. If they had the knowledge, they would have taken the time and precaution to avoid these breakdowns in mind and body as a result of the violation of natural laws. Naturally, everything external to yourself is pouring in upon you. And therefore, your trouble lies. Your trouble lies in the fact that everything external, relative, is pouring in upon you. Because why? Because you don't understand it. Now, supposing I fear something in my mind, and I don't deal with it. It will come back again and again and again until I do deal with it. Why? Because anything that is in my mind that I become emotional about, that I'm afraid of, if I don't deal with it and see the cause of this fear, and we will see that that cause is an illusion, it's a mental image of belief, and when immediately you begin to understand it, the emotion, the fear will die away, and that will never rise again up to your consciousness. But as long as you fear it, as long as you're emotional about it, it will rise again and again until such time as you deal with it properly. And you deal with it in two ways. You see that it has no power of its own. Then you know your own strength, because you are. You don't have to be. You are now, at this very moment. You don't have to become something. You are now, at this very moment. Otherwise, God couldn't be. If God is infinite in nature, then he is now. And he can't be anywhere except everywhere. Therefore, because he's everywhere, he is in you and me now. And God doesn't become something else. He is now. Infinity means completeness. And it is complete now. Not tomorrow or the next day, because they do not come. It will always be then and the next day, the next day, the next day, and you will never have being at all. Realize what I'm telling you, and there you shall find the truth. If then you isolate yourselves through your lack of understanding of relationship, if you try to protect yourselves in any means whatsoever, what are you doing? You're isolating yourself from something that you want to protect yourself from, don't you? Therefore, you create, at once you create something, you create a resistance. If you depend on any outside organization for the reformation and the transformation of the world, you're making the biggest mistake of your life. Transformation and regeneration comes within yourselves, through your relationship to one another. Near and far, or foreign, or intimate, it makes no difference. Your relationship must be the same. We see organizations being built up, organizations torn down, new organizations built up, and these organizations also tumbling to the ground. Why? Because it's the same people who are building those organizations, the same people that are breaking them down, the same people who are building up new organizations, with the result that there is no security, no understanding, and therefore no transformation. Transformation comes from within the self, understanding your relationship to one another. Jesus said, these words which ring in my ears continuously, love your neighbor as yourself. That is your relationship. And unless that relationship is understood, there can be no peace. Unless that relationship is understood by the individual, there can be no peace. No matter how many organizations you create. As one student said to me in Johannesburg, but you see, they're creating a new organization in Europe to build houses and do all these sort of things in there. Yes, I said, that would be all right. But if you remain the same individual as you are now, there shall be no transformation because of the fact that the individual alone is responsible for the transformation of the world. And not an organization. Organizations cannot do it for the simple reason that the individual alone is responsible for organizations, and organizations are helpless without the individual. Organizations are the expression of individual thought. Unless the individual understands that, there can never be peace in the world. There'll be continual disintegration, even if it shows that we're advancing along particular lines, scientific and material lines. But unless there is an understanding of this relationship between the individual and another, there can be no real progress, there can no be real spiritual understanding that will enable us to live together in harmony and peace. There's no use of talking about those sort of things, about organizations, because they are just talk. They are just words. And unless those people who are organizing have within themselves the true understanding of relationship, there can never be any peace in the world, because they are creating what? Isolation. Isolating themselves against something else. Isolating themselves against another group. We have we not, a United Nations organization. That is isolation. Why? Because we have organized ourselves for protection against something else. Immediately organize yourselves, you create resistance against something. Well, that something is continually battering against your door. And because of that resistance, you have strife. Don't you see, all these things are on the relative plane. Nothing really established on the real plane of understanding. It comes through transformation within the self from knowing the relationship to another. And that relationship to your neighbor reveals you yourself to yourself. That's how you discard these things that are a hindrance to the expression of that which is real in itself. Complete now. It doesn't have to be created tomorrow. Peace is now. Absolutely, this moment you don't have to have an ideal of peace. If you have an ideal peace, you go away from peace. Peace is now, at this very moment. And when the individual is transformed, it is immediate. And there is immediate transformation and immediate results. I'm talking as a master. I'm not talking as a psychologist or any other in the relative plane or trying to make the relative a reality. Because there is no such thing as a relative thing, a reality. A relative thing is a created thing. A reality is a non-created thing. But behind it all is creation, and within it is creation. There are many books on the market dealing with mental hygiene, yet there are few that can give some practical help to the sufferer, nor do they give the right instruction of how to prevent falling into the pit of illusion that comes from ideologies, belief, politics, tradition, and religious dogmas. Most people have not the alertness of mind to discern those illusions which lead to separation and strife. Neither have they the spiritual stamina to resist the suggestions that come from them. And how do you get spiritual stamina? Is it not so that because you're afraid that you seek security and you create an organization of some kind to make yourself secure against something external to yourself? It is because you're afraid of something. That which is spiritual is never afraid of anything. How should that which is spiritual be afraid of anything that is material or relative, because it itself is the creator of all things? Spiritual stamina means a knowing, becoming aware of that which is relative and aware of that which is not relative. That which is not relative is a reality. That which is relative is a created thing. That which is not created is creative. That which is created is not creative in itself. That which is not created is creative. That which is created is not creative. As you continue to react to these conditions, consequently you find strife, trouble. I wish I could give you this knowing, this wonderful thing, this peace that passes all understanding, where nothing in the mind interferes with that peace. Mental health is more than is seen on the surface. Merely going to church or attending some psychological meeting is by no means a protection. To protect the mental health requires a knowledge of the mental and emotional processes and the secret of strengthening the mind to avoid that which hinders it. The most important factor the individual must understand in order to protect his mental health is to realize the potency of suggestion and how definite is its effective power and influence. We must realize and recognize its far-reaching effects and its invisible silent action within the mind. So the mind is always prone to the suggestions external to itself. And without knowing, without understanding, without being aware, as we will see shortly, how you can become aware of all these suggestions so that they do not take root in your mind, which becomes part of yourself. The individual must deal with this subtle agents of suggestion in the form of mass suggestion, mass persuasion, mass consciousness, and mass psychology. There are various ways in which these suggestions work on the individual through his or her reactions. There is the external suggestion that comes from the outside through the senses, either by seeing something, reading a book or magazine, by hearing words of others. Then there is the internal suggestion that comes from experiences, memory, emotion, fancy, and desire. Is it not a fact that most people are lost in their reactions to people and things? Seek in your own mind and see if you are not lost in your reaction to things and people. We are acted upon against our will and act upon others with our will. This seesaw movement is going on all the time because we are not aware of what is taking place. Where does awareness come from? The mind can never be aware in itself because the mind is a vehicle that accepts suggestions from outside. Awareness comes from consciousness. Consciousness is awareness and nothing else. I'm alive and living. My life is my awareness. I'm aware because I'm alive. Life alone has consciousness. In that consciousness is awareness. That consciousness then becomes aware of these things that enter into the mind, suggestions that float into the mind. I'm caught up in these suggestions that float into the mind. I'm caught up in them, held in a vice. I fear them. I tremble, my emotions then overcome me. Before I know where I am, I become a physical and mental wreck. But immediately I become aware that there is something greater, something magnificent, something that is eternal, something that is ever-present, something that nothing can harm, nothing can destroy. When I find that I am that myself, then I become aware of everything that is relative. No longer do they affect me because I stand above them. That was the Jesus the Christ. He is the model image. You read his mind and understand what I'm telling you, you will see the magnificent grandeur of the Christ principle expressed in the man called Jesus. Our thoughts are the response to memory of experiences which are conditioning influences. These influences are not only of the past, but of the past in conjunction with the present. So the past is always shadowing the present. The idea is always limiting, no matter how extensive it may be. So ideas, beliefs, traditions, etc., always separate people. Ideas can never bring peace. What is an idea? An idea is something in the mind that you create yourself from some external thing. But an idea is your mental thing. It's of the mind. Unless you recognize that, your ideas can get you nowhere. It's an idea. But if you're alive and living, and you know what livingness is and means to you, and you then understand your relationship to your neighbor, how you react and what conditions you react to him and how to have whatever the case may be, then it will be a revelation to yourself how you act and how you think. A self-revealing process means this, it means virtue, because these antagonisms, these fears, these emotions, these things pass away into nothingness where they belong because you see, you have dealt with them, you know them, you understand them. You're no longer afraid of them. They create no longer emotional disturbance in you. Therefore, they pass away into nothingness where they belong. They only mean something to you as an experience as long as you hold on to them. And you will still experience these emotional outbursts, these antagonisms, these conditions, as long as you do not understand what you are doing. We want peace as an idea, but not an actuality. So we are attached to the world of ideas and not to peace. We cannot discern the fact that we are conditioning ourselves with what we call knowledge and experience. And the new and changing facts are interpreted and translated according to this knowledge. So we perpetuate the past without settling the problem of the present, because the past is ever in conflict with the present. Therefore, you never solve your problems, because the past is always shadowing the present. Why? Because you do not understand it. We see that suggestion is a subtle, generating, thought-provoking missile or force which induces thought similar to and parallel with the idea or suggestion of itself. Habits, opinions, and actions through association influence our thinking, so that consciousness must ever be on watch lest the inner realm will accept without reason and enslave us, thus causing conflict. When an external suggestion hits the surface of the consciousness, it starts a wave motion, a vibrating force, which sinks into the inner realm of the mind. When this happens, an internal suggestion is begun from the acceptance of the external suggestion and becomes a memory impression which creates perpetual repetition and which we call habitual thinking. Habitual thinking then is stagnation. You stagnate in your habitual thinking because you do not understand it and how it comes about. We must also be aware of thought waves that permeate the ether. Thought waves can be so powerful that it can penetrate the magnetic aura and impress the mental receiving set appearing as our own idea, and then rise to the surface consciousness. Once an internal suggestion has been accepted and admitted to the surface consciousness, the reaction will always be an impulse for action. So immediately we know perfectly well that if a suggestion that lurks in the subconscious rises to the surface consciousness, what does it do? It impels action. But if you understand the whole process of suggestion, and you understand how it comes about, and you understand the process of thinking and of your mind, then it has no power over you whatsoever, because your consciousness will deal with it for what it is. Your awareness will deal with it. It's only when you're not aware that you're caught up in conflict, in emotion, in fear. Mass suggestion is a specific idea devised to create a uniform effect on the minds of a group of people in order to produce a desired result or action, according to the mental receptivity of the group and the power of suggestion, so will the successful result be proportionate. A mighty thought becomes a powerful invisible circuit in the form of a magnetic current of electronic particles having the form and outline of the idea. Such a thought can permeate the magnetic aura of each individual of the group. This is mass suggestion. Mass suggestion operates in a large number of minds compelling action. So concrete action appears in the visible plane, in one uniform action. We can now appreciate how a negative mass suggestion can be turned into a destructive weapon possessing immense destructive power, because an individual is not aware, therefore he accepts these suggestions, entering into himself, and he thinks that they are his own. Being caught up in these ideas and suggestion, it becomes a surface action in the surface consciousness which impels action immediately. All real students must understand the process of the mind, not a mere psychological understanding of the mind, but a deep process of the working of the mind. Mass persuasion is the swaying or influencing the minds of people through constant repetition of mass suggestion. In our modern world, every possible avenue of mass psychology is being explored in order to devise clever means or clear means and ways of mass persuasion or mass domination to invade the inner realms of the mind. It is like giving a beautiful doll to a little child in order to tempt her to submit cheerfully to the dentist's forceps to have her teeth extracted. So we see how it is all done. Done up in nice little parcels, tied up with ribbon, and inside it is a bomb. Mass consciousness is the conscious acceptance of the mass of one particular idea. Thus the idea binds the mind of the multitude together to turn them into an immense powerhouse, and the masses through repetition accept the idea. Then it is recognized as their own, and not one that has been accepted from another mind. The object of mass persuasion or mass domination has been achieved as soon as mass suggestion has been transformed into mass consciousness. So the consciousness of the mass is the beginning of action. No matter what type of suggestion it may be, it is the same. I am preparing your minds to be able to discern what suggestion is, so that you can see it before it enters into your mind. So that you can deal with it, and thereby able to dissolve it, and you remain adamant, complete, in love and wisdom and peace. Love your God with all your strength, with all your life, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. If that was that complete thing in your mind, and you knew it to be true completely, then nothing could enter into your mind, because your mind would be dominated with that complete thing of the eternal reality, God. But I also say often, people pray to a God for protection from something external to yourselves. Are you not isolating yourself even if you pray to God for protection? Is God not now, immediately? Is he not everywhere? There is nowhere where he is not. If I pray for protection, I isolate myself from something I want to be protected from. What am I wanting to be protected from when I know that God alone is living and he and I are one? I and the Father are one. Why do I want protection from something external to myself? Of course not. I require no protection, because this wonderful truth of God and I are why Jesus was the greatest of all exponents of the truth, of that one truth, I and the Father are one. But it's a living presence now. It's not something you could get in the future. He didn't say, I will be one with God tomorrow, because tomorrow never came. I am because he is. If I was separated from him, he could not be infinite in nature. If my life was not his life, then he could not be infinite in nature. But as I discern everything that's in my mind, then I come to that which is beyond mine. Then I become aware of myself, not the outer self, but our real self. That is not separated from God, that requires no protection from outside agency. A kind person doesn't require any protection. He doesn't build a wall around him. He doesn't isolate himself. He doesn't have to isolate himself in any organization, religious or otherwise. It's only when you're not kind you have to isolate yourself for protection, because you create resistance against something that is battling against you. You're living in the relative. If I could only give you this, oh, it would be the greatest joy. So the Master say, yes. Neither would they believe, he said, if one rose from the dead. When we look into the colossal ignorance of the masses, we realize the necessity for understanding the fundamentals of mental hygiene. We can now realize the tremendous problem facing our modern world, which is struggling through a notion of conflicting external suggestions poured out daily through radio, press, television, stage and screen, through discussions conducted in meetings, business relations and other associations. Millions of people daily are overwhelmed by a conglomeration of good, bad and indifferent suggestions flooding their minds and invading the inner realms to become fixed beliefs, ideas, etc. The amount of energy wasted daily by millions of people through superfluous and needless external as well as internal suggestion is beyond calculation. Can the average person protect his mental health and very existence from this ruthless onslaught of harmful external suggestions? Yes! This can be done by being alert, discerning, relentlessly maintaining a close watch on every suggestion passing the conscious view, by understanding the function of the mind, remembering that our reaction to every suggestion should be negative, to enable true discernment to take place before allowing any suggestion to enter into our minds. Our reaction to suggestion should be negative, should be no, no matter what it is, good, bad or different. By doing so, you're able to discern clearly, and not only that, to stand aside and see it for what it is, and not be caught up in it. Physical hygiene is taught in all schools and colleges, but very little or practical nothing has been done to prevent the mind from becoming the target for every suggestion that comes along, with the result that groups become antagonistic to each other through ignorantly accepting what others say without strict discernment. This includes religion and politics and all other isms. If a child was taught from early childhood to take care of the mind, the number of hospitals, schools, mental institutions, rehabilitation centers, and sanatoriums would be very few indeed. A happy and contented world would be the result. But what do we see? We see that every child is subject to suggestion of some kind or another, which is not true. And they grow up in ignorance, in opposition to others, become liars, counterfeits, in a world of misery and confusion. This lecture is an exposure of the inadequacy of our public education and mental hygiene. What do we see in the schools all over the world today? No matter what country you go into, both religion and politics, isms, East and West, is both the same. They are brought up to believe in an ideal, an ideal separate to some other ideal, which creates an isolation, which creates conflict, and eventually war. Different religions train the child through suggestion until the child's mind becomes a fixture upon these suggestions that have been accepted in the inner realms. And what do you see? Outer action in opposition to another suggestion of another religion of some kind, and you have conflict, isolation, and disturbance. Is there any truth in that? You will have in the East and in the West, you will have a particular form of ideology. Children are taught by suggestion continuously every day. They sing songs, the flags, and all the other paraphernalia, which creates isolation in opposition to another. That isolation brings conflict. Conflict eventually will bring war. But you have not seen it. No, you're too taken up in the relative, too caught up in these things to understand it. Your minds have become putty, molded according to the suggestion that is given to you from some outside source. It is no immediately, no. There is a negative state to a suggestion, a denial of that suggestion, no matter whether it is good, bad, or indifferent. Therefore, I have told you so often before that you must not accept what I say to you, but to make you think. And if I say to you, can make you think, then you're on the right road to recovery. So we, by our ideals and ideologies, we create an organization. That organization is isolation as a means of protection. We isolate ourselves for our own protection against something else. And that something else is continually battering at our doors to batter it down. And eventually there is severe misery because of the individual that does not understand. It's the individual, not the organization you must bother about, but the individual transformation. And through individual transformation, there alone shall you have peace and happiness, not through organization. I tell you this through your sitting here now, that the organizations that have been built in the past will fall to pieces, crumble to the ground. There will be fresh organizations will be built on the similar planes just as they have before, and they will fall to the ground too. Not until such time as I am telling you this truth. That which is within requires no protection, becomes a conscious reality to the individual. Through discernment of that which is false, and understanding that which is false, and understanding that which is false will allow that which is real to take its place. And when that reality then enters into the consciousness of then there shall be immediate peace. Not sometime in the future when we can organize this and organize that, because if an organization you create is further isolation. We who know can, with an alert awareness, protect ourselves from the inroads of beliefs, ideas, and the like, which creates separation, which leads to mass murder in the name of a loving God. How wonderfully true it is that there is the various people, organizations who have different gods, but the gods they have is a mental god, God created in their own mind that they have created according to their own ideals. So they create this mental god and they pray to this mental god for power to destroy the other section of people who have another god built up in their own minds, similar to these people, but a different god. And so the two different gods and two different heads have a fight, and all the flesh and body is killed and mangled. And then they go on saying, we have had a victory over our enemies. The victors are the losers. Not until we do away with all false gods of images and ideas. Until we know the true God, the one and only God that lives in every soul. As Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. How can anybody with murder in their heart pray to a loving God who created all within himself, his own life and all? Ignorance is truly the evil in the world today, and prayers have become idolatry. If you then, as Jesus said, have anything against your brother, go and make peace. Come back and there offer your prayer to your God. Jesus made enemies of the rich, the rabbis and the high priests of his day, and they killed him because he interfered with their rights. It has been 2,000 years since then, and we have not advanced much owing to the fact that we do not understand our minds, our thoughts, our images, our beliefs, our ideals, and what we are. So Jesus' words are these that I can remember. I could even be there at the very moment when he said these words. If I have said anything wrong, prove it. If I have said what is true, why strike me? How true it is. And they nailed him to a tree. Humanity hasn't risen to the understanding of what happened. They haven't realized yet what man missed in the world at that moment. And 2,000 years of strife and trouble and wars has been the result. Here at that moment came the blessing upon earth, a peace that passes all understanding. It came with love and wisdom, so that man could take hold of it and there immediately be transformed, so that the world would be a world of peace and harmony. But the outer self was too strong. The conditioning of the outer self by the material was too strong. Suggestions had entered into the mind of the individuals, and that mass suggestion became a powerful effect upon the consciousness of the people. And they would rather have Barabbas than Jesus. The high priest created those suggestions in the minds of the people. They accepted those suggestions and they became a rabble for the destruction of that which alone would give them peace and happiness. So they nailed him to a tree. Would the world do the same again? Yes, they would. They would do the same again today because the individual has not yet understood that which happened 2,000 years ago. if you can in your own minds, then become aware of suggestions that come from without. Understanding everything that happens, even experience. Knowing them of what they are, looking at them without fear, without judgment, without condemnation. In that consciousness there is freedom, there is life, there is God. Jesus said, "Fear not, for I am with thee even unto the end of the world." Christ is with you always, even unto the end of the world. In this understanding there shall be no fear. Fear of death shall pass away, because the death only comes to the outer self, which is an illusion. And the outer self dies in the illusion of death, but the real self is eternal and lives in God, and God lives in the real self. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. That is the message, the understanding, the love, and the wisdom that I want you to have. For in it is the glory of the Christ. The Christ did not die on the tree. Jesus, that form which the Christ took for the time being, yet the Christ remains eternal, ever present. Those even who look to Jesus as a personal thing have not realized the greatness of the Christ which expressed itself through him. Therefore they have lost the reality of Jesus the Christ. I shall be even if I die. And he who believes in me, even if he dies, he shall live. Benediction. O Eternal One, thou hast created all within thyself, thy life and all. Ignorance rules the world today, yet through that ignorance man will become free when he discerns its ways. Thou hast given all the power to see the light of the world, which is also the light in man himself. The light that came 2,000 years ago is still burning brightly, and thousands are beginning to see it, free from creeds, forms, and ideologies that separates man from man. Man is now discerning the false things of the mind, and soon he will free himself from his own self-imposed misery caused through not understanding himself. Oh, eternal. There is peace, there is joy in the heart, there is wisdom, and there is love. These things are the binding things. Bind you and me. Help us to understand that which is cruel, that which is not real. But when love and wisdom expresses itself in its true nature, as it does when we become as a little child. Therefore, in this then is the peace of the world. I have come. You shall know. Not because of us, but because of the world. Because Master has sent me. He's given me those words that you should understand.